بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, the month of Rabi'ul Awwal has passed, and during the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, the masjid has had a series of talks related to the seerah, the life, the teachings, and the noble character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we find that there are four events that are directly linked to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and four occurrences that had taken place in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. And that is why in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, our focus is on the seerah and the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. Secondly, the hijrah and the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He entered into the cave of Thawr. He remained there for 3 days. And then on the first of Rabi'ul Awwal, did he exit from the cave of Thawr and commence the hijrah, the migration to Al-Madinatul Munawwara. We find that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to one narration, he was officially appointed as the Rasul and the Messenger of Allah in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. And obviously the saddest day that the Ummah and the world ever witnessed and experienced was the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which also took place in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. In today's pre-khutbah talk, we would like to focus upon the qualities, characteristics, certain attributes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that made him the best leader in humanity. Now we are all leaders in one way or the other. Whether a person is a leader within the home, you are a leader within the community, you are perhaps the leader or the head of an institute, the CEO of a company, the chairman of a certain organization, or you may be considered as a leader within a forum that you have established, or whatever it may be. But every one of us, we enjoy a certain position of leadership in whichever space we find ourselves. What were the attributes and what were the qualities that made Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the best of leaders that the world has ever seen? And there are so many, so many. You know, it's difficult when it comes to the seerah. We can never even attempt to study the entire seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It will require a lifetime and beyond to study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it is also sometimes impossible when we take a specific aspect of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then too we find ourselves incapable to do justice to even that one specific topic or aspect related to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, some of the qualities and some of the salient and glaring attributes that he possessed as a leader sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that made him a successful leader within the community, within the home, amongst the people, and that made him the greatest leader of human history, are certain characteristics that we can develop within ourselves, whether we are leaders or not. The first quality, an attribute that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and perhaps one of the salient and a quality of his that gives rise to and that gives birth to many other qualities that a leader should possess and that a leader should develop, is the quality of humility. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was absolutely humble. He showed and expressed humility in his mundane activities, and even the humility that he expressed and he showed on the occasion of success and in the face of achievement and accomplishment. Very often a person, perhaps in his interaction with others, perhaps within the home, or perhaps when it comes to his mundane activities, he can express and he can show humility. But when it comes to the realization of an achievement, when it comes to success, when it comes to accomplishment, then very often there he finds it difficult to attribute that achievement to other than his own self. So we look at the example when Abdullah bin Ubay as-Salul, Ra'is al-Munafiqeen, the leader of the Munafiqeen. We know that he harbored this deep enmity and hatred for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the reasons for that is because before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's arrival in Madinatul Munawwara, he was about to be elected. And he was about to assume the position of the leader of the people of Madinatul Munawwara. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Madinatul Munawwara, he lost the position. So he naturally had this deep hatred for the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he tried at every level to hurt the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to bring him distress. So now from his perspective, he sees the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the leader, as the candidate who had deprived him of the position of leadership. So naturally when he views the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he compares himself to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's looking at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from a perspective of a leader. What is found within him? What is it that found within him that makes him a more worthy leader and a more deserving leader than myself? A leader studies the life of another leader. And that is why you find that many of those outside of the fold of Islam, they have studied the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not as a source of guidance, but to learn particular and certain leadership skills and attributes from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a leader will study the life of another leader. An entrepreneur will study the life of an entrepreneur. A scholar will study the life of another scholar, because they are in the same area of activity. So he sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as that leader. So once he comes across the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he's got a different perception of being a leader and what a leader should look like and how a leader should behave and the type of attitude that a leader should have. He comes across the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seated on the floor like a humble slave and servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's partaking of the food that is in front of him. What are we discussing? The humility in his mundane activities. Humility is on two levels. One is the humility you show in your daily activities, your mundane basic activities that you perform. And then there is the humility that you show in the face of success, achievement and accomplishment. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is eating. And while eating, carrying out this basic human need, he is doing it so in the most humble way. Abdullah bin Ubay, looking at from his understanding of a leader and how a leader should eat and how a leader should sit, he looks at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he tells those around him, look at him. يَأْكُلُ كَمَا يَأْكُلُ الْعَبْدُ. How can he be a leader when, according to Abdullah, he does not possess the qualities of a leader according to his understanding of leadership? And he says, look at him, he sits the way a slave sits and eats. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam simply turned to Abdullah and what did he say? Naam, أَكُلُ كَمَا أَكُلُ الْعَبْدُ وَأَجْلِسُ كَمَا يَجْلِسُ الْعَبْدُ فَإِنَّمَا أَنَا عَبْدُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? He says, yes, you are right. I eat the way a slave eats. And I sit the way a slave chooses to sit. Why? فَإِنَّمَا عَبْدُ. I am no more than an abd. I am nothing more than a slave and a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first quality as a leader, whether it is in your home, the way you interact at the time when meals are served, at the time when you are interacting with the family, humility. If the food is not on time, does that give me the authority as the head of the house to become upset and to become angry? In my mundane activity, where is the humility? If a spot is not reserved for me on the eating table, should I feel offended? This is the Nabi of Allah.
the leader of the Anbiya, the leader of humanity. I am the leader within my home. Yet I feel offended at the time of meals when certain things are not the way they should be or the way I would like them to be. So that's on that front. In our daily activities, humility, humbleness. Then in the face of it, and there are so many examples that we can share with the audience regarding humility in your mundane activities when carrying them out, when driving your vehicle and so on and so forth, and we can go on citing examples from the seerah and the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the face of achievement and accomplishment, again, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there were many achievements, accomplishments, victories, conquests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed him to enjoy. Let's take one example. The greatest achievement and accomplishment in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the greatest victory and conquest was the conquest of Makkatul Mukarramah. He is entering Makkatul Mukarramah, the greatest victory in the annals of history. Remember how he was kicked out, literally kicked out of Makkatul Mukarramah. And now he's walking in to Madinatul Munawwara as the conqueror of the very same people who drove him out. Yet Sahaba explained, he was so naturally overtaken by humility. It was not a pretense. He wasn't putting on a show. He didn't adopt a posture of humility because he wanted people to regard him as such. He naturally could not lift his head up to the extent that the forehead was touching the back of the mount. He just couldn't lift it up because he felt if I were to lift it up, it would seem as if I'm attributing that accomplishment to myself. I'm attributing that achievement to myself. So very often Allah allows you to enjoy an accomplishment and achievement. Our youngsters are ending another academic year. Many of them are going to achieve. Many of them are going to graduate. Many of them are going to receive their results. And very often when that student is interviewed, the top performing student of the year, or the top performing matriculant, very often when they are interviewed and they are asked, what was your secret to success? Or what can you share with us? How did you achieve what you have achieved? How did you attain the grades that you have attained? Very often the answer is hard work, effort, late nights. Where does Allah feature in that? Where does Allah feature in that? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the face of achievement and accomplishment, and wallah, whenever you attribute an achievement to Allah, an accomplishment to Allah, Allah will allow you to keep on achieving and accomplishing in your life. But the moment you attribute it to yourself, whether it's a spiritual achievement or whether it's a worldly achievement, the moment you attribute it to yourself, you attribute the piety to yourself, you attribute your level of spirituality to your religiosity, the moment you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves you to yourself. And when you attribute it and you keep on attributing it to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to continue progressing and achieving and accomplishing. Because now you have the nusra of Allah. You have Allah on your side. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our topic for the pre-khutbah talk, what were the qualities and attributes that made the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the greatest leader in human history? The first quality and attribute, and perhaps the one that was most salient in his life, and the one that gave rise to and birth to many other qualities, was that of humility. We are speaking about humility in the face of success and accomplishment. Whenever he enjoyed accomplishment, whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enjoyed success, the first thing he would do, he would say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi bi ni'matihi tatimmu salihat. Alhamdulillah. You are attributing it to Allah. The moment he attributed it, he realized an achievement or an accomplishment, he would say, all praise is to Allah through whom good things are enjoyed, or through whose favor and through whose bounty good things are enjoyed. And when things did not go his way, If things do not turn out the way he planned them to turn out, if he suffered a setback, what would he do? He would put the blame on himself. Subhanallah. That's humility. He never shifted the blame. He never blamed someone else for it. And he never ever shifted the blame to Allah. He never questioned Allah. He goes to Ta'if. We know very well what happened to him during the time he was in Ta'if. And he is driven out of Ta'if. Again, literally, he's kicked out of Ta'if. And he's beaten out of Ta'if. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he suffers a major setback. A major setback. Things did not work out the way he planned. He went to Ta'if with great hope. A lot of hope. That the people of Mecca rejected me. The people of Ta'if, they will accept my invitation and they will embrace Islam. Things did not go his way. He didn't go there for personal reasons. It was not for worldly gain. It was not for recognition. It was not seeking popularity. He went there for the sake of the deen of Allah. Propagating the deen of Allah. And he suffers the setback. What does he do? He raises his hand. And what does he ask Allah? What's the dua? The first words that he have uttered. Allahumma inni ashku ilayka du'fa quwwati. Oh Allah, this is all my doing. Wa qillata hilati. Oh Allah, I didn't plan. Wa hawani ala nas. Oh Allah, all this is because of me. That's humility. Achievement attributed to Allah. Any setback that you suffer, internalize. Attribute that to yourself. What am I doing wrong? What have I done? There must be something that I have done in order to suffer what it is that I'm suffering. So that's the first quality of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That of humility. As a leader, again, number one. Right on the top. Regardless of the position you enjoy, your position is never, and the status that you assume is never higher than that of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the best of Allah's creation. And he developed humility. Number two, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, another quality of his that made him a successful leader, the greatest leader in humankind, is that of empathy. Empathy, the ability to understand the feelings of others and to share their feelings. In fact, in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a particular ayah, this is the very first attribute that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُمْ. O mankind, a messenger has come to you. Allah has sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to you as a messenger, leader of mankind. The first quality Allah says that he has within him, عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُمْ. Your distress causes him pain. Whatever pain you feel causes him distress. He's really distressed. He finds it hard to deal with the suffering that you are experiencing. Empathy as a leader, as a father, as a teacher, as a CEO, as a chairperson, as a spiritual leader, as a community leader, I need to develop this quality of empathy, understanding the feelings of others and sharing their feelings. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he not only experienced distress at the distress of his companions or the believers, but even at the distress of animals. The distress that animals experienced caused him pain. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, "Kunna fi safarin ma'a Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." We were traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam excused himself to take care of a particular need of his. In the meantime, the Sahaba says, "Fara'ayna humrah." We came across a bird, a little mother bird, وَمَعْهَا فَرَخَان. And she had with her two young birds. They could not fly. So what we decided to do is take the two young birds and take them for ourselves. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes back. And the moment the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrives, He says, فَجَعَلَ تُعَرِّشُ. This bird comes and it starts frantically and out of distress, flapping its wings around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Immediately the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of that quality of empathy within him, he realizes that the bird is in distress. He turns to the Sahaba and he says, oh Sahaba, who has caused the bird distress by taking the young of the bird? Return the young of the bird to the mother. Empathy. And empathy to such a level that he even took time to understand the feelings of children. Not his own children, of course, his own children as well. But children, generally children within the community. Subhanallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, the quality of empathy, taking the time to ask your staff, taking the time to ask your students, taking the time to ask your associates, what's bothering them, what's on their mind. Sometimes very often, we see a person in a distressful state, we keep away from that person. Let me not ask him what it is that he's experiencing, because I might have to deal with his problem. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked for the opportunity to deal with the problems of others, to take on the problems. So he hears of a little boy. There's a boy in the community, and his name is Umair. Umair had a little bird as a pet, and the pet's name, the bird's name was Nughair. That was the bird's name. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard that Umair lost his pet bird. Not his own child, this is not his own kid. But this is an ordinary child in the community, in the neighborhood. And the Prophet ﷺ then sees Umair. Later on in the day, or perhaps some other time, he sees Umair. He remembers what he heard about Umair. He has the ummah on his mind. But this is the leader. He has absolutely no time and no energy to be concerned about a bird of a child within the community. But he sees Umair and he wants to understand the feelings of this young child, and he wants to share the feelings of this young child. So he comes to Umair, he says, Ya Umair, ma fa'ala Nughair? Oh Umair, what has happened to your bird Nughair? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the second quality that makes you a great leader is that of empathy. Understanding the feelings of others. There are others who are below you. Do I take out time to understand the feelings? Do I have the quality of empathy? Do I put myself in their shoes so that I may share in their feelings? Another quality of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we said, there are so many that made him the greatest leader of humankind, but we're running out of time, was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ability to keep a clean heart. So important as a leader, to strive and to ensure that you do not harbor any ill feelings towards anyone out there. Striving to keep the heart clean. To the extent, he went to the extent that once he made an announcement amongst the Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them all, he said to the congregation, لا يبلغني أحد من أصحابي عن أحد شيئا. Listen, O my Sahaba, I do not want any one of you coming to me and telling me about the weaknesses, the mistakes and the sins of others in the community. Don't do that. You can come to me and tell me of a weakness that's found in the community. Tell me of a crime that's found in the community so I can address it in a general sermon, in a general address. But don't come to me and tell me what so-and-so had done. Don't tell me what so-and-so had said. Don't tell me about the weakness that's found in such and such a person. Why? فَإِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَخْرُجَ إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنَا سَلِيمُ الصَّدْرِ. Because when I come out, I want to meet you all with a clean heart. I don't want to meet you knowing that I heard something negative about you. That's a leader, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He strove hard to ensure that no negative information was brought to him about any person in particular. Bring the weakness to my attention, I will address it. in a general address, but don't attach a name to that weakness or to that mistake or to that fault. Naturally, I am human being. When I see that person, I will think about the crime that he had committed. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The last and perhaps the most important, the leader, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what made him such a great leader, the greatest leader in human history and mankind, of course, was his special attention towards his spiritual development. If you study Surah Al-Muzammil, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of his position of leadership, and informs him of the mission that he is given to accomplish in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal muzammil, O Muzammil, one of the attributes and names of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a title that was given to him. Ya ayyuhal muzammil. Allah is about to tell him about the responsibility that he has to carry out and the work that he has to do. What does that role and that position of leadership entail? But before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him of the duty and the responsibility, the first instruction that's given to him, Ya ayyuhal muzammil, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Stand up for tahajjud at night. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا نِصْفَهُ أَوْ إِنْقُسْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا إن ناشئة الليل هي أشد وطأ وأقوى مقيلا إن لك في النهار سبحا طويلا. There Allah tells him, after speaking to him about tahajjud, after speaking to him about Quran recitation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells him, إن لك في النهار سبحا طويلا. You are being given a great responsibility of swimming through human kind and bringing them to Allah. سبحا طويلا. You are going to assume that mighty and that great position. But where do you start? قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Stand up at night, pray to Allah. That's the fuel. So as a leader, as a teacher, as a community leader, as the head of your household, if you want to enjoy success in your endeavor, if you want to influence, it starts off with how much attention you pay towards your spiritual self and your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the fuel that will allow you to effectively and successfully carry out every other quality that a leader should have. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.